This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we paused and reflected on the concept of contentment and the complete total individual in a state of contentment was none other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Contentment leads on to happiness, leads on to cheerfulness. A person begins to put on a very brave face, as they say, that irrespective of the problems and the difficulties that they face, they deliver a wholesome, a good nature to the people around them. So people are not affected, or people are brought down by the hardship that a person is facing. And that was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most cheerful of individuals facing the most difficulties or the most hardships. Ashaddu bala'an, the most severest of tested of individuals will be the messengers. And then those who follow suit and those who follow suit. They'll always be tested inside their lives. That's when the Quran mentions, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ. Do you perceive you're just going to stroll into paradise? You're going to walk into paradise? Has not the parable come of the people that came before you? مَسَتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا. Adversities, calamities, difficulties. وَزُلْزِلُوا. Till even the earth began to shake underneath them. And some of them began to pose this question. مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When will the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come? أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Indeed, the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close by. It's very close. Imagine the context of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the battle of Khandaq, the ditch, the trench. Read the tafsir of Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Quran, where Al-Ahzab is confederates. Nearly all of the Arab tribes got together to overcome the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, overcome the message. You find that some of the companions, as human beings, began to complain. Starvation, of hunger, of difficulty. Carrying a boulder, a rock on their stomach, and saying, look how hungry we are. How difficult we're facing. Difficulties inside our life. Complain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he's of good stature, good nature, cheerfulness, happiness. But just to show them his human side as well, lifts up his garment and shows that he has two rocks attached to his stomach. That you think you're facing difficulties. Thus you find that the ulama seerah they mentioned that very rarely did the flames of fire burn in the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, meaning cooked meat. It was very rare, a rarity in the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But he persevered. He was the most cheerful of individuals, the most content of individuals, the most happy of individuals. And never on his visual face was anything displayed, that anything of the loss of the dunya, or taking of the dunya, would make him upset or taking him away from his vision. And that's as they say, that person in a good mood has a good mindset, has strong, good moral values. The person who feels good inside their heart, their mind, inside their soul, is content, will always have a sound, good moral judgment. They never become corrupted, because there's a strong element of morality within themselves. They're going to be fair with the people around them. Or as they say, their judgment is not clouded of that individual. And thus this trait of cheerfulness is something very, very rare that we find that exists, that needs to be revived inside our community. Because we find that always, many of us, Abusan, always upset, always frowning, always worried, always subjects around them complaining, reviling, never being content, never being happy. كنا في مجلس فجاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. We were in a majlis, in a gathering, sitting together. The Prophet عليه الصلاة came upon us. وعلى رأسه أثر ماء. فقال له بعدنا نراك اليوم طيب النفس. And there was a sign of water dripping from his blessed hair, blessed head, washing or bathing himself. He said, today we see you in very good spirits, in a good feeling, happy. فَقَالَ أَجَلْ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Indeed, that's true. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the spirit of the Prophet alayhi salam, always cheerful, always in good spirits that we find. Perhaps something more better or worthier the companions were searching for. Because as human beings, sometimes we think that, you know, being happy, maybe that's good. Maybe there's something more important in life. Maybe commodities of the world should be given more preference than finding contentment of the soul or happiness of the soul. ثُمَّ أَفَادَ الْقَوْمُ فِي ذِكْرِ الْغِنَى. Then they began to discuss the concept of richness, of property, of commodities, of wealth. فَقَالَ لَا بَأْسَ بِالْغِنَى لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. There's nothing wrong with a person being rich if they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالصِّحَّةُ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْغِنَى. And a person in good health and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than a person who may have wealth and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give the ishara that good health, good spirit is far more superior. وَطِيبُ النَّفْسِ مِنَ النَّعِيمِ. And the ultimate cream of blessings of na'im is to be in a good soul, in a good spirit, in a state of happiness. It excels wealth, excels property, even excels the concept of having a good health when a person is content. نَقِفْ ثُمَّ أَفَادَ الْقَوْمُ فِي ذِكْرِ الْغِنَى. People began to discuss the concept of wealth. The Prophet ﷺ was in good spirits, but they felt maybe something more important, the concept of the dunya. And the Quran documents the nature of the human being, that no matter how as human beings we become, we're always going to look at other elements and think there may be something that's better that exists out there. In the end of Surah Al-Qasas, the 28th chapter of the Quran, speaking about Qarun, فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ. He came out in front of his people, embellished with his beauty, with his ornaments. Read the end of Surah Al-Qasas to see the state of Qarun, the wealth, the property, the grandeur, the wealth, the magnificence that was given to this individual. So when he came out to his people, some people, قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا يَا لَيْتَانَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوْتِيَ الْقَارُونَ إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَوْذٍ عَظِيمٍ. Just like many of us, we see the world, we see the dunya. They said, look at this individual. Look at the wealth, the property. إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَوْذٍ عَظِيمٍ. Magnanimous wealth will be given to this individual. Woe upon us. If only we had some wealth like this. We had property like this. We had life like this. But there'd be a rebuke by the scholars that stay away from such claiming of having this wealth, of letting it enter into your heart and your mind. And as we find that, من رؤوس الكفرة, the leaders of disbelieving individuals, there's a strong link between people who come in riyasa, in power, in wealth and possession, being a wazir, being a leader. As we find Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah في كتابه حكم الصلاة أو كتاب الصلاة حكم تاركها, the book of prayer and the ruling of whoever abandons the prayer. A hadith that speaks about the one who leaves the prayer, they become an individual who's going to be with Fir'aun أو Haman أو Qarun أو Ubay bin Khalaf. Then he begins to make ta'wil of this hadith, explaining that why in this hadith does it mention these four individuals. As we mentioned, first, these are also tafra, these are the heads of disbelieving individuals. Everything flows from these four individuals. And you study the life of these four individuals, begin to see why. But what concerns us here is Qarun. That wealth, excessive wealth, took him away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Qaruna. Qarun was from amongst the family of Musa, from the tribe of Musa. فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. But he became rebellious, thinking that his wealth and his property will avail him, will help him. And as we find that wealth, if not used in the right direction, لِمَنْ اِتَّقَى, wealth will destroy, take the individual away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالَ لَا بَعْزْ بِالْغِنَى لِمَنْ اِتَّقَى. No harm for a person to be rich, as long as the person is full of piety. But wealth with piety is very rare. That's a fact. It's very rare to find a wealthy person who is piety towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because wealth in general, it brings pride, shame off, a lavish lifestyle. That's what in general, that's what we find in ahadith, numerous ahadith, that the fuqara, the masaki, will enter to Jannah many hundreds of years before the rich people. Sifatul amal, general description. Yes, there will be rich people go to Jannah, no one denounces that. But in general, you find that masses of the poor people, average people, will go far quickly and swiftly and enter to Jannah before the rich individuals that we find. Wealth can become a great big test, a great big punishment in the hereafter and even inside the dunya for the individual. If the person doesn't know how to use their wealth, that's what the Quran mentions about the concept of boasting of one's wealth and property that we find. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. On that day, your property and your wealth won't avail you, won't help you, except for the person who comes with a sound heart. That wealth won't buy you into paradise. Children won't buy you into paradise. There may be an avenue that wealth will help you, will aid you, if you use that wealth appropriately, but for many of the masses of the people, their wealth will become an evidence against them. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَا هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَا خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ. This person on the day of judgment will say, مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَا. You know, my wealth, it never benefited me at all. My sultan, هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَا. My power, my sovereign right, my authority will be taken away from me. Take this individual and bring him where? Towards Al-Jahim. Then Allah begins to mention about sifat. You know, the Quran is very strange. Because sometimes we think that Jahim, An-Nar, As-Saqar, Al-Adab is something far away for people who may do such evil actions. Evil actions are many. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What made you end up going into Saqar? وَالسَّقَرْ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ جَهَنَّمْ. قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمُسْكِينَ وَكُنَّا نَخُودُ مَعَ الْخَاعِدِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ دِينَ حَتَّى أَتَانَ الْيَقِينَ. First characteristic of these individuals, we never used to bother to offer the prayer. We abandoned the prayer. We never used to feed the poor individuals. We had wealth, we had property, but we never done that inside our lives. وَقُلْنَا نَخُودُ مَا الْخَاعِدِينَ. We used to be ones squandering our time, wasting our time, wasting our life. Until وَقُلْنَا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. We rejected the last day. حَتَّى أَتَانَ الْيَقِينَ. Until yaqeen came to us. الْيَقِينَ هُنَا بِمَعْنَى الْمَوْتِ. When death came, that's the only time we began to, then we thought maybe it's time to do something inside our lives. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ مقابر. Surah At-Takafur. The rivalry, piling up of wealth, continuously derails you. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. Until you go and visit the graves. This kinaya inside the Arabic language of the Quran isn't speaking about you go and visit the grave when you're living. It is when you're dead. When you're a dead individual. That's the only time this greed is going to be ripped out of your heart and your soul. Son of Adam, لَهُ وَادٍ لِلذَهَبِ. Son of Adam has one valley of gold. Doesn't stop there. We want to aspire to have another valley of gold. And the only thing that will quench that thirst, that desire, is the turab, the dust, the mud stuffed in his mouth. وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابُ. And Allah accepts the repentance whoever repents back to Him. هذا معظم الخلق معظم البشر. Most of us human beings, that's what all life revolves around. That's all it's all about. It's about wealth. But wealth coupled with taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads the individual at taqarrub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالصِّحَّةُ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْغِنَى. Person who has good health and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than richness. The ultimate prize commodity, a crown on a person's head, is a crown of good health. Person in good health outweighs any wealth on this property, any riches on this property. A person who feels has good health and praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the real health, the real richness is one of contentment and cheerfulness. Allahumma aafini fi badani, Allahumma aafini fi sam'i, Allahumma aafini fi basari. That's what the Prophet would pray in the morning and the evening. Cure me, give me richness, give me goodness in my body. Give me goodness, richness inside my hearing, inside my sight. La ilaha illa ant. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri والفقر ومن عذاب النار لا إله إلا أنت أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah, seek refuge from kufr. This is what a Muslim should be worried about. The first level of is of iman. Don't worry so much about the dunya, it will come. Oh Allah, seek refuge with you in you from kufr, disbelief. And then secondly, min al-faqr, poverty. Because Umar ibn Khattab mentioned, poverty can lead you to kufr. When a person is in poverty, they can do all sorts of things to gain wealth. That's why one of the reasons the masses, the awam, they commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is because they're not taken care of. Impoverished lands, rich nations, rich people, but you find that the poor people are suffering. The commodities are not given to them. Hospitality is not given to them. So what do? It leads them towards kufr, leads them towards disbelief, leads them towards shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may sound strange to us because we live in a Western world. Read through the histories of the African nations. How many of them change their faith to become Christians? For what? For us it may sound strange. I wouldn't do that in my life. I wouldn't give up my deen. But read the statistics and the facts. كم من النصارى سافروا إلى بلادنا. How many du'at of Nasraniya, preachers of Christianity, flew to our countries. You know what the strange thing is when you read about the history of these individuals? ما جلسوا يوم أو يومين أو سنة أو سنتين. You know, we get excited that we think we're doing some da'wah, some impact in community. They didn't sit for one day, for one month, for 1 year, 2 years. بعدهم 40 سنة. Some of them 40 years, 50 years, sat in those nations, sat in those amongst those people, ate with them, drank with them, learnt their language, lived with them. For what purpose? أن ربكم عيسى. Your Lord is Isa. The one who feeds you is Jesus. The one who nourishes you is Jesus. فَآمِنُوا بِهِ. Believe in Him. These are facts. How they sit there. That's why many ulama mention, at times it may sound strange for us. نَحْنُ دِينُ بِلَا رِجَالٍ أَحْيَانًا. You know, sometimes we have a way of life without men. هَؤُلَاءِ رِجَالٍ بِدُونِ دِينٍ. They're men without a deen. But they believe in a cause. They believe in a kufr, they believe in a spirituality, they sacrifice their life, they sacrifice their time, they sacrifice their families, they even sacrifice themselves to sit there, to champion their cause that these people, wajil ba'da jil, and the children that come after them, will become what? Christians. They persevere. Where's our patience? Where's our focus? Where's our commitment towards rescuing individuals? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqr. That Allah bring us out of kufr and disbelief and being in a state of poverty that we find. That we find holding one's hardship within oneself, that we find that the hardship that we face or the cheerfulness that we display isn't what the world displays for the sake of a promotion, or statistical data that we find, or the force of one's company, or whatever it may be, that person begins to show cheerfulness. Our cheerfulness is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person swallows things. Kadhimul ghayb. Allah describes that surah Al Imran, believing are those individuals who literally who swallow their anger, swallow their saliva, swallow it. For what purpose? Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah loves the doers of good. Innama nut'imukum liwajhillah. La nuridu minkum jaza'an wala shukura. We feed you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want no jaza' wala shukur. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah mentions that even a hint that you want people to somehow hear that, you know, you gave charity, you done a good deed, you go against this ayah. La nuridu minkum jaza'an wala shukura. You don't even want the poor person to say to you, nashkuruka lihada ta'am. You don't want that. You don't want anything. Innama nut'imukum liwajhillah. We feed you only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you find the seven under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who spends with his right hand, left hand, doesn't know. Even a day of judgment, some people who come don't know the wealth that they spend. Be multiplied many times over. Actions of sir, actions of secrecy have a great impact in the life, in the iman of the individual. Fi dunya wa fil akhirah. And that's what we find for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. As we began with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, one who overlooked so many things about this dunya. And that's when he entered into Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, once again referred back to the seerah of being victorious. What did he respond to all these individuals? Is it like some of us that we think that this person punished me, this person tortured me, this person took my word, this person said this about me, so today I'm going to find retribution. Today I'm going to get my recompense. That's many of us as human nature. But the human nature of the Prophet ﷺ is far more superior than that. He said, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. No reproach, no blame upon you this day. Allah will forgive you, pardon you, whatever you've done. You slit my cheek. You broke my canine tooth. You hit me so hard that the pain in my shoulder was there for a month. You poisoned me that even towards the end of my life, I could feel the remnants of poison inside my body. You placed my wife inside the barren valley. Khadija, radiallahu anha, lived a very good life that led her to her death. You took 70 of my best companions. You trapped them and you slayed them and you killed them. That's what you've done. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. No blame, no reproach upon you what you've done to me. That is the Prophet alayhi salam. Within nafsis surah, we find innama ashku bathi wa huzni ilallah wa a'lamu min Allahi ma la ta'lam. Surah Yusuf is the most miraculous surah inside the Quran. It is the only surah, the 12 surahs of the Quran, that begins with a story and ends with a story. Yaqub alayhi salam, what he sees. You know, they weren't strangers. They weren't strangers who came and took Yusuf alayhi salam. Kana min abna'ihi. They were his own sons. Min asnabihi wa min damihi. From his own blood, from his own loins. They weren't strangers who took Yusuf alayhi salam, his own loved ones, his own cherished ones, and what they done to Yusuf alayhi salam. But his response, innama ashku bathi wa husni ilallah. Wa a'lamu min Allahi ma la ta'lamun. I only complain of my sorrow and my grief only to Allah. وَقَدْ رُوِيَ أَنْ عُمَرِ الْخَطَّابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ. That when this ayat were read, you could find that if he was following this inside Salah, كَانَ يَبْكِي, would weep. The people at the end of the masjid would hear his buka, hear his weeping. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I complain of my sorrow and my grief only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at his cheerfulness. Look at his life. Look at what these brethren done to him. Look what the society around him done to him. But yet you find being a person of sound mind, contentment. Look at his justice. Look at his equity. Look at his conduct. Look at his behavior. Look how he treated everybody around him throughout the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, even placed in the beginning inside prison that we find. What did the prisoner say? Inna naraka minal muhsinin. We see you from amongst the doers of good. You know, people of goodness, wherever they're placed, people recognize them. Those mujrimun, those criminals, those corrupt individuals who are inside prison that we find. And these specific two individuals, when they saw him, they noticed straight away. Why are you in prison? Inna naraka minal muhsinin. We see you from amongst the doers of good. He doesn't then begin to try to defend himself or speak about himself. What's the first thing that he does? Tad'uhum ila Allah. He doesn't begin to clarify his own self. Don't worry about that. Worry about what in your lives? Ibadatullah. About worship of Allah. Your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what he reminds them about. And the qissa, it continues of Yusuf alayhi salam, so many different things. But he doesn't shortchange anyone. That's why he's made as the Khazainul Ard, made as a treasure of the wealth of the property, because of his honesty and his fair judgment this individual he has. وَطِيبُ nafsi مِنَ النَّعِيمِ. And the cream, the element of everything, is to be in a state of contentment. And this could take a long time to develop cheerfulness. You know, تَرْبِيَةُ الشَّخْصِ. You know, people think that tarbiyah is just reading a few things. Tarbiyah to nafs, it takes years. It takes many years. That's why you find that we may learn many things in this environment, as they say, inside the West. But there's many things that we don't learn. And that is learned by suhbatul ulama, suhbatul salihin, being in companionship with righteous people, with pious people, with scholars, just being inside the companionship. People always think that it's about learning ilmah. But other things that you learn, those learned format of learning, of experience, you can't learn them in the West. That's why here you find everybody does whatever they want to do. Everybody behaves how they want to behave. Everyone speaks how they want to speak. Qillatul adab, lack of etiquette, of behavior, of nurturing, of teaching, of practitioners that revolve inside society, able to engage, to teach people what to do. And that is unfortunately a downfall of living inside such environments that we find that our ethics and etiquettes become what the people, or what becomes infused upon us, that we think these are the ways that we need to conduct ourselves inside our life. And thus we find that even though there's much khair and goodness, they even begin with small things. Small things about trying to change our character and our behavior. لَا تَحْتِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Never despise any good action. Any good action, never despise. Never think this is something trivial, it's something small. This is a small action. Why should I worry about that inside my life? وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِيقٍ أَوْ طَلْقٍ. Even if you meet your brother with a smiling face. You know, just to meet someone with happiness, you know, for us it might sound strange. You know, this, sometimes you have to read the life of non-Muslims and read about, so some of us sounds trivial, but I said that I just met a Muslim, or I work with Muslims, I engage with Muslims. But you know, as human beings, they go through hardship, they go through difficulties, they go through everything I go through, but for some reason they're always happier than me. They're more content than me. They always have a smiling face. They always say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Why? You know, even small things like this, they drive a person to begin to reflect upon their life. What is it about these individuals? But if we become individuals, just like an average individual, in our work that we're complaining and we're frustrated, and we're behaving like this and we're doing this, it has no impact upon our own selves or the wider society around us. That's why every good deed is a charity in the Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi that we find. Indeed, which is left inside your bucket, inside the vessel of your brother, is a good deed, is a charity. Just to pour water for your brother, to share water. You know, but we know inside this society, what is it? Everybody eats for themselves. If somebody goes to shop to buy something, just buy your own thing. Go and buy something yourself. These are not Islamic traits. These are not Islamic etiquettes. A Muslim shares inside the life, enjoys their food, enjoys their life, eats with everyone, drinks with everyone. Doesn't become separate, aloof inside their society. That's why we share our happiness, we share our grief. As one ummah, as one body, as one people. We find in some narrations, in the ulama of hadith, are weak in these narrations. But some of the wordings that we find, تَدْخُلُ السُّرُورُ فِي قَلْبِ أَخِيكَ, that you enter some form of happiness into the heart of your brother. These narrations are weak in general, but the meaning is plausible. As we mentioned, that just to deliver some good words, to share some good thoughts, to show happiness. As they say, as the human nature, it brings happiness. That a person could be upset inside their life, about their family, about their children, about their work, about their environment. But deepness, being of good character, being of good cheer, good happiness, you make that individual feel better about their life. That maybe my troubles are many, but they're not that many for me to get upset inside my life. And as a side, final point, cheerfulness of being happy needs to be codified. Everything about our deen is restricted, is codified, about how we conduct, how we carry ourselves out. Thus we find that unnecessary good words, and here we speak about unnecessary good words, some people speak about cheerfulness, that whoever you meet, of good words towards the opposite gender are highly, very, very, very limited. Very, very limited. And even for a woman to speak to a man that we find, is very, very limited. That a person, once again, says Surah Al-Ahzab, that we find it highlights that when you speak, speak bluntly, abruptly to the person who's not related to you. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ. Don't be deceptive, don't be alluring, don't be loving inside your speech. فَيَجْمَعْ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. Lest the person who has a sickness inside their heart, that sickness is arisen. وَمَرَضْ هُنَا قَدْ فُسِّرَ بِمَعْنَى الشَّهْوَى. Desire, lust. The Quran is dynamic, يَا أَيُّ إِخْوَى. All these متجددون, these modernistic individuals say, you know, cheerfulness, whoever you speak to, deliver yourself, then this is min babi da'wa. This is giving da'wa to a person of the opposite gender. لا. ما نحتاج إلى هذه الدعوة. We don't need this type of da'wa. That this type of cheerfulness towards the opposite gender is codified. And when a person has to speak, speaks correctly and appropriately, and has no further discussion that we find. Likewise, greetings that we find become unfortunately common practice. People of opposite gender would meet, would shake hands. It is haram for a person to shake hands of the hand of a strange woman. Shake the hand of your wife, your daughter, your sisters, your aunt, your mother, your grandmother. It's all allowed. Paternal aunts, maternal aunts, your nephew, your nieces. As for to shake the hand of a strange woman, is rather you have an iron rod penetrated through your hand. And we find far worse. We find greetings, embracing one another. For what? For what intent? For what purpose that we find? You know, as a side, but even the queen of this country, you're not allowed to shake her hand. If she doesn't put her hand out to you, you're not allowed to shake her hand. If she exerts her hand, you shake her hand. These are etiquettes they have because they are royal people. We all Muslims are royal and dignified. A woman who's dressed with an abaya and a scarf, they should know our etiquettes. And you should know your own dignity. You should have your own pride and your own faith, your own belief. And they should feel embarrassed. Why should you feel embarrassed that you need to stretch your hand out? You need to greet yourself because it happens to be a member of the royal family. We have etiquettes that we believe in strongly, just like they have etiquettes. They have strong etiquettes that they follow. They have certain rights and regulations they indulge in. We have rights and regulations that we indulge in, we follow inside our life. Likewise, we find gifts. Person should be limited, because cheerfulness that we find, many ulama discuss. Then a person wants something from you and they gift you something. Hadami babi rishwa. They're trying to gift you something that maybe you may incline to a decision towards them, trying to impress upon them. And sometimes gifts of kufr are given. They're given, clearly given, gifts of kufr are given to people because this is for greater good of nations and states that we find. People, some people openly they say, they don't even hide it. They say that deen al-Islam wa nasraniya wa al-yahudiya la khilaf baynahum. خلاف ال 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 خلاف اللغوي. نحن كلنا بشر. It is what we find inside our society. فأي دين هذا؟ What deen is this? What cheerfulness is this? What happiness is this? That just we need to turn a blind eye to everything and everybody enjoy everything that's taking place. And likewise, another cheerfulness that we find inside our society. Excessiveness. Oh, it's our wealth. So we blow 900,000 fireworks to celebrate what? To celebrate what? What are we celebrating? What are we enjoying? What message are we giving to the rest of the world and what we want to achieve inside our lives? And then we find excessiveness, that we find lightheartedness inside our da'wah as well. That da'wah should be beautiful preaching. Da'wah is beautiful preaching. It doesn't mean that you begin to wash away your faith. That you begin that al-Islam tad'u an-nasi bil-musiqa. Call people to Islam via music, via free mixing, via dialoguing, via sitting, via this, via that. Or even the way that you preach, you need to be entertaining towards people. Deen Islam is no entertainment. Islam is not entertainment. Get that right deep down into your hearts. Islam is no entertainment. Entertainment is something separate as human beings. You can enjoy that. Don't mix it with Islam. Don't taint Islam and say Islam is entertainment. Allah mentioned, Ya Yahya, khudh al-kitaba bi quwwah. Allah said inside Surah Maryam to Yahya alayhi salam, take this book with strength, with power, with might. Quran isn't a la'ib wa lahu, isn't play and amusement and passing your time. Quran is hablullah al-mateen. Quran is a strong rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yarfa'u aqwamun bihadha al-kitab. Allah will raise nations, raise people who hold fast to this book. Who hold fast, but Allah will raise them. And likewise, Allah will defame people who begin to move away from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 1400 years have gone by. You think that Prophet Isa was unaware of the rights of his people, the culture of his people, the nature of his people? Do you see him becoming complacent in what he delivered to his people? The message gave to his people. They were engrossed in music, they were engrossed in wine, they were involved in ikhtilat, they were involved in haram, they were involved in something even far worse at times in this society. But he focused on the message of tawheed, of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what awakens people. This is what awakens people to remind about Allah. Musiqa doesn't awaken people. Music doesn't awaken you. It doesn't awaken. These people are sick of that in their lives. They're sick of it. When they hear words of the Quran, they hear words of the Quran, yabkun. They weep. It rips their heart open. It rips their mind open. It makes everything inside their mind begin to turn around. What is this? فَأَيُّ كَلَامْ هَذَا. What words are these? What's the impact of this? And we day in and day out, the Quran is there. And we think, well, what da'wah is the da'wah of the Quran? Why are we encouraging people to come towards the Quran? The Quran is your contentment. Quran is your peace. Quran is your rest. Quran that you find, it fills your soul. Fills you with happiness. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentions, fi tilawati al-Quran, the recitation of the Quran, fawaid adida. Many, many benefits. Takes away amradul qulub, rips out the sicknesses of the heart. Even the sicknesses that a person would have inside their heart, it's been proven. People suffer from cancer, illnesses. Qira'atul Qur'an, reading the Qur'an again and again. People that you find that medically they scan and say there's a cancer inside your body. Cancer inside your body. فَإِذَا مَرِدْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ الْإِيمَانِ بِالنَّهِ. If I fall sick, Allah is the one that cures me. But Allah places certain methodologies upon the earth. Use them. people, go back. What medication did you take? What did you do? Mustahil, never heard in science. Never heard in science that cancer has been uprooted, taken away from the body of the human being. What did they do inside their life? Kathratu qira'at al-Qur'an. Excessive reading of Qur'an. Pondering over the Qur'an. Reflecting the Qur'an. Doesn't mean that for everyone, but just trying to hint that the Qur'an will bring about happiness. That even this desperate individual to leave this dunya, but at least amongst their final, their whole journey is rabtu bil Qur'an. Their whole life is linked with the Qur'an. Everything about them is linked with the Qur'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the happiness, the contentment, tibun nafs inside this dunya. Because a person who has goodness inside their heart, and whether male or female, and they carry out good deeds, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, will give that individual a good life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a good life inside this dunya, and more so a good, and the most extreme, and the ultimate, no-ending life inside the akhirah.